from Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, the government holds an emergency meeting after overnight downpours flood homes and strand residents across central South Korea. President Lee Jae-myung calls for higher farm subsidies to strengthen the nation's food security. And Culture Minister Choi Hui-young unveils a global K-culture hub initiative. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Emily Jennings. The government has held an emergency meeting to review its response after overnight downpours flooded homes and left people stranded across parts of central South Korea. Presiding over the meeting on Saturday, Prime Minister Han Sung-suk reviewed the damage caused by the heavy rain and expressed sympathy to those affected. Han said it was fortunate that no casualties had been reported, but noted that homes and roads were flooded, causing property damage. The Prime Minister called for continued vigilance as parts of the Chungcheong and Gangwon provinces are forecast to receive more rain through Sunday, increasing the risk of landslides. She instructed the Korea Forest Service and local governments to help evacuate residents in high-risk areas before conditions worsen. Han also called for all available personnel and equipment to be mobilized for recovery efforts to minimize disruption and ensure public safety. President Lee Jae-myung has called for higher agricultural subsidies to help safeguard the nation's food security and support farming communities. In a social media post on Friday, Lee said agriculture is a strategic industry that must be protected for the country's survival, even if it is not the most economically efficient. Sharing a post by Agriculture Minister Song Mi-rung, Lee noted that the government subsidies averaged 5.19 million won, or about $3,500 per farm household in 2025. He said the figure is well below the 25.8 million won provided in the European Union in 2023 and the 9.67 million won offered in Japan in 2024. He also called for measures to offset losses caused by market opening, saying gains from trade should be used to support sectors that bear the costs. Culture Minister Choi Hui-young has unveiled plans to establish large-scale K-culture centres in major cities around the world to expand the global reach of Korean culture. Speaking at a policy forum on Jeju Island Saturday, Che said the government is pursuing a project to secure the operating rights to stadium-sized venues in cities such as Los Angeles, New York and Paris. He said the centres would host K-pop concerts while also offering visitors opportunities to experience K-food and K-beauty and to purchase Korean products. Che said South Korea is expected to welcome about 23 million foreign visitors this year, exceeding the public and private sector forecast of 21 million, despite the conflict in the Middle East. He said the government now expects to reach its goal of attracting 30 million foreign tourists 1 or 2 years ahead of its 2030 target, after elevating the National Tourism Strategy meeting to a presidential-level body earlier this year. Choi also stressed the need to spread tourism beyond the Seoul area, saying balanced regional development will be essential if South Korea hopes to attract 30 million or even 40 million foreign visitors in the future. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un had a photo session with participants in a women's group meeting and members of a construction and engineering military unit in a bid to induce loyalty and internal unity. According to the North's state-run Korean Central News Agency on Saturday, Kim the previous day met with new heads and deputies of the Socialist Women's Union of Korea, elected during the group's 8th Congress in Pyongyang earlier in the week. Kim said it is the ruling Workers' Party's highest pride and the regime's great strength to have a powerful group of women patriots, and called to firmly protect the revolutionary nature of the women who follow one path directed by the ruling party. Kim also met with officers and soldiers of the construction unit at an undisclosed construction site the same day, where he expressed confidence that they would continue to make achievements this year. The move is likely aimed at boosting morale among the troops mobilised for the regime leader's rural development policy, with a target to build modern factories, hospitals and cultural facilities in 20 cities and counties each year over the next decade. A Chinese delegation has wrapped up its three-day visit to North Korea after looking around the Wonsan Kalma coastal tourist zone. According to the North state-run Korean Central News Agency Saturday, the delegation said during the visit to the tourist zone the previous day that the creation of such an outstanding public facility is the materialization of the ruling Working Party's people-first ideology. The Wonsan Kalma coastal tourist zone opened July last year as part of regime leader Kim Jong-un's focal project, and it is speculated that the North will soon recruit tourists from China. The delegation visited the North in celebration of the 65th anniversary of the two sides' signing of the 1961 Treaty of Friendship, Cooperation and Mutual Assistance. They met with Kim as well as Jo Young-won, Secretary of the Workers' Party Central Committee. Jo and the Chinese delegates discussed ways to enhance bilateral exchanges and cooperation to promote the welfare of the people on both sides. The Hanwha Philly Shipyard has been selected to deliver the US Missile Defense Agency's missile range instrumentation vessels. According to the Maritime Executive on Friday, US Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy and White House Office of Management and Budget Director Russell Foch announced a $2 billion investment to build two missile tracking vessels. The Hanwha subsidy is set to build the ships at its Philadelphia shipyard, with Tote Services serving as the vessel construction manager. The first of the vessels is expected to be delivered by 2030. China has rejected US President Donald Trump's claims of Beijing's interference in the 2020 US presidential election and has urged Washington to stop its unfounded smears. At a press briefing on Friday, China's foreign ministry spokesperson said the allegations are entirely fabricated, groundless and aimed at vilifying China. The spokesperson stressed that China has no interest in interfering in US elections and has never done so. This was in response to a primetime address to the nation Thursday, when Trump said that the beginning with the 2020 election cycle, China undertook what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in the illegal acquisition of 220 million US voter files. The Chinese spokesperson urged Washington to reflect on its actions and to do more to benefit the China-US relations. Global oil prices surged on Friday amid escalating tensions stemming from a renewed exchange of fire between the United States and Iran. Brent crude for September delivery ended Friday at $88.10 per barrel, up 4.5% from the previous session's closing. West Texas Intermediate for August delivery closed at $82.49 a barrel, up 4.5% from the previous day. Kuwait's Electricity and Water Energy Ministry said Friday that one of the country's power generation and water distillation plants came under an Iranian attack, causing fire and damage to facilities and equipment. The damage comes after US President Donald Trump threatened earlier in the week to strike Iran's power plants and bridges unless Tehran agreed to a final peace deal. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Centre in Seoul. I'm Emily Jennings.